Bob McCowan, Stephen Brunt, Jeff Blair has joined us, and we're thrilled to be joined by the new commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred is with us. Mr. Commissioner, great to have you with us. You can't hear at all? We have a technical issue here. We're going to try and fix that for you. Do you want to try it again now? Can you hear us now?
Yes.
All right, we're good. Welcome to Toronto. I know you've been here before, but first time as the Commissioner of Baseball, I assume.
It is the first time since I was elected, but I'm glad to be here.
You're on tour. You were saying to me earlier this is a 16th or 17th stop that you've made already this year.
Right. I saw a bunch of teams during spring training, and I'm going to try to finish the rest of the teams that I haven't visited yet here in the early part of the season.
What's your message? I mean, I know you're not only doing what we're doing here, but you're going into the clubhouses and saying hello to all the players.
With respect to the players, what I'm really doing is just giving them an opportunity to hear me talk about the game a little bit, hopefully get them comfortable with who I am and how I think about the game.
Do you have a message that you want to convey in a general sense?
Yeah, there's a couple of points that I've actually done pretty much the same thing with each team. And my basic message is about cooperation, and cooperation on two specific topics, pace of game initiatives and our marketing efforts focused on the players.
Where do you think, you know, in terms of pace of play stuff, Rob, I was at the Fall League this year, so I saw the pitch clock in operation there. There was a lot of discussion about it down at Fall League. But, you know, Where do you think we are in terms of the players adapting to the pace of play initiatives? And, you know, are we ever going to see a pitch clock in Major League Baseball?
I think that, let me do the players first. I think the most encouraging thing about the players I've met with is how cooperative they've been on the topic. They've had some questions, you know, they want to understand how we got, where we got. But overall, the players have been tremendously cooperative. I think you've seen that on the field. Whether or not we get to the pitch clock depends on how the things we adopted this year play out. I thought it was important to approach this as sort of a multi-year project, and what we do next year is going to be dependent on how it all goes this year.
Rob, I'm going to ask the almost obligatory Montreal question, which I know you've been asked a while, and I know the Tampa writers were very pleased to see you here today, I might add. You seem to have, I wouldn't say you've opened the door to baseball in Montreal, but you've certainly given people in Montreal a lot more hope, I would argue, than since the franchise has left town. Tell us what has to happen in order for Montreal to be positioned to get another Major League franchise.
Well, let me begin by saying I'm positive about Montreal because Montreal's been positive. I mean, I think when you have an exhibition series 2 years in a row where you draw the kind of numbers that they've drawn the last 2 years, you have to sit up and take notice and say, gee, this is a market that has some interest. I think the tricky issue for Montreal is having a plan. And I want to be clear about this. I don't expect somebody to build a baseball stadium on the come, and matter of fact, that's probably a bad idea because obviously ownership's going to want to have input. But I think Montreal has to have a pretty firm plan, site or sites, financing, some commitment to that financing plan in order to be a viable candidate to get either a relocation or an expansion franchise.
Are you willing to meet with the mayor of Montreal at some point to discuss this?
I'm happy to meet with the mayor of Montreal. You know, I think it's important for the game to have markets that are interested in having Major League Baseball, and I think it's part of my job to cultivate those markets.
What conditions, Rob, in order for baseball to consider expanding anywhere in general, what conditions have to exist?
You know, that's a moment in time issue. You know, sometimes you get to the point, I think we got to that point with Florida, where we decided we need to be in Florida. You know, it's a market we can't leave empty any longer. So that's one way it can happen. Sometimes it's ownership driven by fundamental economics in the game, that expansion fees are significant for a reason. But it, like I said, it just really depends on the moment in time.
Would it be, is international expansion more likely? I'm just trying to think of other viable markets in the United States of America for baseball right now. You know, are there places there you could go or would look at?
I think there's places domestically we would go and look at. I do think that the idea of international expansion is appealing. I think we've done a great job internationally on going places like Australia or Japan, where you can go and play a couple of games. It helps get the growth of the game going on the ground. It's important to the overall development of the game. But I also think it's important to have sustained international activity. And when you think about our schedule and the geographics, you know, Mexico and Canada are really the sorts of places that make the most sense.
You know, Rob, we've seen in the past couple of weeks, the past week certainly, we've seen four players fail drug tests for stenozolol. I know, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right.
You are.
Failed drug tests. You did an interview with Bill Madden of the New York Daily News before spring training, and you said something I've never heard anybody from baseball say before, and something that I've written and talked about and really believe. At some point, when we start talking about performance-enhancing substances and trying to get them out of the game, at some point, don't we have to start asking questions of the agents? Because you know as well as I do, not all agents are, I'm not saying they're all bad people, but there are agents that can be facilitators. And you made the point in Bill Madden's article, you know what, you want to have that discussion with the Major League Baseball Players Association at least.
Well, look, I wouldn't want to impugn agents as a group.
Sure.
The comments I made in Bill's article were really related to the Biogenesis situation.
Okay.
And, you know, there was a commonality, just like you point to. When we do investigations, we look for common themes. Is it the same substance? Do you have the same agent? Did they go to the same college? Did they have the same trainer? Those are the sorts of things you look at. And, you know, whenever you see that kind of commonality, it raises questions.
What kind of punishment can you administer to an agent if, in fact, there's a repeating process here?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. The agents are actually certified agents in the MLBPA. So the disciplinary responsibility with respect to agents falls with the MLBPA primarily under our current regime. The MLBPA has had an ongoing investigation that was a follow-on to the Biogenesis investigation, and I expect at some point we'll know the results of that. And, you know, if in fact there are issues that go unaddressed, it'll be something that we'll have to talk about at the table in 2016.
Are those the positive tests, Rob? Obviously, that's indication to some degree that your testing system's working because you caught some guys. But,
right.
You know, beyond that, you know, you hear something, stenozolol is kind of an old school steroid that's, you know, that's got resonates in this country because of something that happened in 1988. But, would people be wrong to think that if they're nailing guys for old school steroids in baseball, that there's more out there, that there's other things that going on, that this is indication that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg again?
No, I see it as I see it as an indication of the effectiveness of the program. Trust me, if there's players out there using stenozolol, I can say this 100%, we're catching them. It is not a hard steroid to catch. That's why people are surprised at this particular substance. But remember, we have come so far on this issue. You know, you think about our relationship, you talk about Montreal, you think about our relationship with the World Anti-Doping Agency. You know, we used to trade kind of press jabs with them. Now they talk about us as the model in professional sports, not only because of the testing piece, but because of the investigative piece. You just have to stay constantly vigilant on this issue because you never know what's going to happen next. Is it going to be a new substance? Are people going to go back to something that they used to use thinking they can mask it? Whatever. You just have to stay constantly vigilant.
With the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, is here as opening day is upon us. You mentioned earlier having been in a bunch of locker rooms, 16th or 17th visit that you've now made. And you were mentioning to me earlier that some of the rooms are pretty quiet, and some of the rooms you got to get dragged out of because they get real aggressive in terms of the questioning.
Right.
What kinds of things? Is there a general theme to the kinds of questions baseball players are asking you right now?
No, you know, it's interesting. Players have questions on all different topics. Sometimes you get a lot of questions. Sometimes you don't get many. A lot of them, I'd say the most common question right now is about the pace of game changes, how we're administering them, what's going to happen, what our approach is philosophically. That's been a big theme.
Rob, now that we know that there's a normalization of relations occurring between the United States and Cuba, the whole issue, or at least the process has begun, the whole issue of Cuban players and the orderly the orderly movement of Cuban players in Major League Baseball. Is that something you've looked at? Do you have a committee struck to deal with that? And where does that sit right now as far as your list of things to do?
Well, it's a huge issue for us. You know, we are engaged principally through Dan Hallam, the chief legal officer at baseball, but also Tony Petitti, the COO, with a number of federal agencies. We're trying to monitor the changes that are being made with respect to the applicable regulatory framework, not only with respect to player movement, but also on the business side. I mean, it's a business opportunity for us as well in terms of, you know, a market that has baseball in its culture deeply ingrained. So we're really engaged on the topic, trying to be up to speed as possible to take advantage not only of talent that may be more freely available, but business opportunities in Cuba.
Could this be the thing that eventually moves us towards a universal draft?
I think that the stress, and let me use that word, that's been put on the international talent acquisition process by the more open flow of Cuban talent will make the international draft a topic that we're going to have to deal with in 2016.
All-Star Game was here in 1991 when this is a quite new stadium. They're about to retrofit this place. They want to put real grass in. Is a Toronto All-Star Game on the horizon at all?
I think Toronto could be a really strong candidate for an All-Star Game. I think that obviously it's been a long time. 91 is a long. I was here for that, but it was a long time ago. You know, when you haven't had one in a long time, it tends to move you closer to the top of the list. Having said that, in the time that I've been involved in baseball, I never remember as much demand for All-Star games as there is right now. And I think it's just a testament to the quality of the day's worth of events that go on.
What's the process in making a determination as to who gets it? Is it literally a bidding process?
Yeah, we are moving more towards a bidding process. At times, there can be commitments that are made in the context of, you know, getting a new stadium built or something like that. But right now, we're more in a competitive bidding mode, so that the applying franchise has to have adequate hotel commitments. They have to have a place for Fan Fest. There has to be local groups that are prepared to participate with us in putting on this huge event.
Last point. In this, your first season, your inaugural season as the Commissioner of Baseball, is there one thing that you aspire to accomplish over the next few months?
I've said this, you know, with all the emphasis that we've put on pace of game, what I'd really like to happen is, just like last year in August and September, people were talking about pace of game in a negative way, I'm hoping in August and September this year that knowledgeable people, regardless of time of game, because it's a funny statistic, are saying, you know what, they took some of the dead time out, they were responsive to what they were hearing from fans and knowledgeable writers, and the game's just a little crisper than it was a year ago.
Well, we wish you good luck with that and with all the other initiatives that will come your way over the years. It's a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for coming to Toronto, and we hope to have the opportunity to talk to you again down the road.
Well, I hope to as well, and it's a pleasure to be here in Toronto.
Thanks, Rob.
The new commissioner, still new commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred.